Let's read together Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. In this first half of the chapter, we have God's indictment of the kingdom of Judah for their rebellion and hypocrisy. Let's begin by reading the first 9 verses. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints from the sole of the foot even to the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Let's begin our study of Isaiah with some background notes. The book of Isaiah is like a miniature Bible. Did you realize that? There are 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah. The Bible has 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. Isaiah is clearly divided into 2 major sections, with 39 chapters in the first part and 27 chapters in the second part. The first part of 39 chapters, like the Old Testament, has a lot about the judgment of God because of sin. And the second part of 27 chapters, like the New Testament, has a message of hope and consolation because of the coming Messiah. Now, is this part of the inspiration of the book of Isaiah? Answer, no. Dividing the Bible into chapters and verses was not part of the original text, but came in much later. So while it helps to remember the structure of Isaiah, the division of the 66 chapters of Isaiah, like a miniature Bible, is not part of the inspiration of Isaiah. Of all the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah is the most comprehensive in range. His themes reach back to the eternal counsels of God and the creation of the universe. We'll see that in chapters 42 and 45 when we get there. And they look forward to the time when God will create a new heavens and a new earth. And we'll see that in Isaiah chapters 65 and 66. All nations of the earth come into view in Isaiah's prophecy. So Isaiah is universal in scope. The theme of Isaiah is Israel's Messiah. Thus, there is more about the person and work of Christ in the book of Isaiah than in any of the other prophetic books of the Old Testament. As a result, Isaiah has been called the evangelical prophet, and his book has been called the Gospel of Isaiah. We see in verse 1 that the ministry of Isaiah spanned the reigns of 4 kings of Judah: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So Isaiah had a long ministry, didn't he? At least 50 years. Now, it was during that time that the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC. So Isaiah's ministry was primarily directed to the southern kingdom of Judah, with its capital at Jerusalem. It also reached to all of Israel, especially before the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians. Now, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points for this first half of Isaiah chapter 1. So, doctrine or teaching point number 1. God denounces the rebellious actions of his people. God denounces the rebellious actions of his people. In this first half of Isaiah chapter 1, it's as if the Lord brings his people into court because he has a lawsuit against them. They have broken the covenant that he has made with them. All of heaven and earth is called on to be a witness of the Lord's just indictment of his people. He had brought them up as a good father raises his sons, but they had rebelled against him. Verse 2. Even domesticated animals like the ox and the stubborn and stupid donkey showed more sense and submissiveness to their masters than God's people did to the Lord. Verse 3. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. They had not only sinned and acted corruptly, but they had actually despised the Holy One of Israel. Verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. This title, by the way, for the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, is used 25 times in the book of Isaiah. It contrasts the people's sin with God's holiness. As a result of breaking God's covenant, there would be consequences. This was all spelled out when the covenant was written down in Deuteronomy 28, for example. So in verses 5 through 9, we read how God's people would be disciplined for their continued rebellion. God would allow their enemies to invade the land and beat and bruise his people. They would be like a victim with untreated wounds. See that in verse 6? From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. And their cities would be burned with fire, and their land would become desolate. Verse 7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Their military defenses would be overrun by the enemy forces, as if they were a little shelter or hut in a vineyard or a cucumber field. Verse 8, so the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. In fact, it was only by God's grace that a small remnant of survivors would be left. Otherwise, they would have been completely destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 9, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. All of this, of course, took place when the Assyrians overran the northern kingdom of Israel and the Babylonians conquered the southern kingdom of Judah. As God had to denounce the rebellious actions of his people in the Old Testament, so he denounces the rebellious actions of his people today. Listen to James chapter 4, verse 8, which is addressed to believers. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's addressed to believers. Read the whole book of James in this connection. God denounces the rebellious actions of his people. Doctrinal point number 2. God despises the religious motions of his people. God despises the religious motions of his people. Verses 10 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. We see in verse 10 that the people of Judah had turned so far away from the Lord that they were likened to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And because their heart was not right with the Lord, their sacrifices were unacceptable. Now, in these verses, the Lord is not setting aside the temple and the sacrificial system that he himself had set up. No. He is telling the people that their bringing of sacrifices was just going through the motions, religious motions. Their heart was far from the Lord, and therefore he despised their sacrifices. Because they despised the Holy One of Israel, verse 4, the Lord despised their hypocritical sacrifices. Verse 11, I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls and goats. Verse 13, bring your futile sacrifices to me no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. And verse 14, I hate your new moons and your appointed feasts. God hates hypocrisy then and today. When people just go through religious motions of going to church to impress people, or in some cases to cover up wrongdoing, God hates it. Remember what the Lord said to the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7, verse 6? Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain do they worship me. Mark 7, 6 and 7. I trust that you are not just going through religious motions right now. God despises the religious motions of his people. What about practical application from this first half of Isaiah chapter 1? Make sure you are washed and clean. Make sure you are washed and clean. Verses 16 and 17. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Here is a command from the Lord to those who called themselves God's people, but their hearts were far from the Lord because of their rebellious actions and mere religious motions. Let me ask you, is that your condition here today? You consider yourself one of God's people, but your heart is not right with the Lord? Is it possible that you're not a true believer? You're just going through the motions? If so, you need the bath of salvation. You need to be washed and clean. Receive Christ as your personal Savior because he died on the cross to make you clean. Don't delay this decision. Make sure you are washed and clean. Maybe you're here tonight as a believer, but you're far away from the Lord. You're away from the Lord right now. Maybe there's some secret sin in your life that's keeping you from fellowship with the Lord. Come to the Lord for cleansing and restoration. Make sure you are washed and clean.